Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set. Just call me Swanny.
Tiger style. Tiger
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle. Once again, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400 The Midlands. Heard around the world on the iHeartRadio application. All right, little technical here to get with you today. Lots going on. Clemson Tiger softball opens up their first ever home regional in 3 years. They host, and boy, did it go spectacularly well against UNC Wilmington. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Clemson Tiger baseball currently on the diamond, taking on the Boston College Eagles in the final home series of the year. Still feels like Clemson needs to sweep this one to not only secure a chance at the ACC tournament, which that would, or an opportunity to play in the ACC tournament, which that would, but maybe even could be enough to get them into the NCAA tournament, especially if they do any damage at the Atlantic Coast Conference tournament. So all of that on the docket. Clemson Tom set to join us in hour number two of the program. More reaction to Jimbo versus Nick Saban. Saban had an apology, so to speak, after the fact. Plus, I know that there was an issue yesterday, and we'll get some of what you missed for you in hour number two as well. Plus, of course, hockey updates and NBA updates here on the show that shakes the Southland. But first, don't forget about listening to our buddy Rob Sanders from 3 until 4 o'clock. He's got the rundown for you. And then, as well, in the mornings here from 9 until noon, talking sports with Teddy Hefner on Fox Sports Radio 1400. But we begin with not only a historic event with the Clemson Tigers softball team hosting for the first time ever, but I've mentioned here on the program that one of the biggest benefits, one of the biggest changes, modifications, improvements for the Clemson Tiger softball team this year is the fact that they're not a one-trick pony, so to speak, when it comes down to the pitching staff. I mean, this isn't just Valerie Cagle and the occasional whomever else. Millie Thompson, dealing today, throws her second solo no-hitter of the 2022 season as Clemson plates 9 runs en route to a victory over UNC Wilmington. The Tigers now 40-15. That was a sold-out McWhorter Stadium as the number 10 national seed Tigers have a no-hitter thrown by Millie Thompson. Mackenzie Clark was 3-for-3 with 2 RBIs and 1 run scored. A crowd of 1,760 packed the arena for that game earlier today. Leadoff batter Cammy Pereira lifting the ball to shallow left field on a full count. Then Clark followed it up with a hard hit ball that bounced off a left center field wall for a stand-up double, plated Pereira, and the Tigers went on from there to take advantage of every single opportunity available to them. And then on top of that, Millie Thompson with a fantastic performance in the circle for Clemson, going the distance. She is 14-3, 5 innings pitched, had 4 strikeouts, did hit 2 batters, and that was it. I mean, she was the 2-hit batters away from a perfect game. Clemson, again, hosting for the first time in the history, the short history, the 3-year history of that program, and what an exciting day for them. Clemson will face the winner of today's matchup between Auburn and Louisiana. tomorrow at 1 p.m. Millie Thompson deal with it as Clemson wins the opener. Here is head coach John Rittman, Millie Thompson, and also Mackenzie Clark talking about the Tigers' victory earlier today.
Coach, great win for the Tigers today. Really proud of the way we came out in that first inning. Obviously, Cammy with a great first at bat, two-strike battle, punched one into left field, and then Mackenzie with the big double there and, you know, got off to a great start. Obviously, they got Cagle and Gambarda out with two outs, and I love the way Vieira and Logaleo gave us two great at-bats there with two outs and kind of opened it up a little bit. Vieira with the big line drive, and then Logaleo with the two-strike hit the changeup out of the park, which was huge. I think that gave everybody an opportunity to take a deep breath. Millie, just an outstanding job in the circle. I mean, anytime you throw a no-hitter, it's special, but to do it in postseason, I think we'll all remember that for the rest of our lives. Like the way we continue to put pressure on their pitching staff, hit a lot of line drives today, had some great situational hitting, Logaleo, Odo with RBIs, and of course, Sam Russ creating a lot of havoc on the bases. Total team effort today. Really proud of the way we performed in our first home regional. You know, just a special moment for our program. And we get about, 15, 18 hours to enjoy it. And we get to go back to work tomorrow. And looking forward to that challenge.
You know, it looked like your changeup was working really well for you, keeping them off balance today. You've been the game one starter for a couple weeks now. How excited were you when you knew you were going to get the ball today?
I was really, really excited. I kind of felt like I would maybe throw today, and it was a great experience. I'm glad that they have trust in me to allow me to, you know, start that first game. So I'm really happy about it.
I guess this is a great no-hitter, as Coach said, but you were just a couple of hit batters away from a perfect game there. One just barely nuked the hitter, and the other looked like she turned her shoulder into it. Was it tough to miss a perfect game by those two?
Yeah, I think I was working on things as well. I was working on going in. I know I have to throw in and out, and against Auburn, against Louisiana. So I just wanted to work on that, and unfortunately, you know, I hit a few people, but, you know, it'll prepare me for the next day, so.
Mackenzie, for you guys came out there, you kind of got things rolling and kind of just settled the whole thing down with that 6-run first. Can you talk about how big it was to come out there and play that well?
Like Coach said, after we got a few runs under our belt, it was a breath of relief to say. But after that first inning and that first batter that Millie was throwing to, you know, a girl swung a miss at a first changeup. I just got chills going down my back thinking about it. But just what Coach said, complete team effort offensively and defensively, was just outstanding today.
So again, the Tigers win 9-0 earlier today. Nearly a perfect game by Millie Thompson. She is cool breeze, man. I absolutely adore that young lady. Just she's neat. She's just a neat character. And man, what a performance for her. Again, the Tigers will take on the winner of Auburn and Louisiana tomorrow at 1 p.m. And for Clemson, you know, I've already put the onus on them. I'm not saying this group specifically is going to be able to win a national championship. I think this program will at some point. And right now, this team, where they sit, you go out, you take care of business tomorrow, you're in the driver's seat in the region, you take that and you go on to the Super Regionals, and then you can make the College World Series, and all you have to have is a little luck, ball bounce your way. I'm not putting it past this group. I think they have the talent. I think they have the confidence. I think they have the moxie and the poise to pull off a feat like that, to get to the the College World Series, the Softball World Series, not the national championship. I'm not telling you that. Listen, could it happen? Sure. I mean, anything could happen. But I just mean from the standpoint of, do I think they have the goods to make it to the College World Series in year three? I do. And I know it was just UNC Wilmington. We'll see how things shake out for them the rest of this regional. They may not even get out of their own regional. But at this point, it is the quickest ascension and the most exciting program I think I've ever witnessed sort of jump off of the ground. And I haven't witnessed many. I mean, obviously, there haven't been many new programs, but man, how could you not see this team and appreciate everything that they've done? Again, the Tigers 40-15 on the year and advancing into the championship side of their regional. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. Be a part of this show anytime, any place, anywhere. You know we appreciate you hanging out with us to talk about your Clemson Tigers. And, of course, if you're a Gamecock peeking over the fence, thank you for being a part of what we do here. We try to make it fun and engaging. Yesterday, the Tigers engaged in an onslaught against the Boston College Eagles. Clemson wins it 15-1 in the opener. That's a big deal. Mac Anglin tosses 7 strong innings. And now that I sit here thinking about it, I may have said out of the gates a few minutes ago that the 3-game series with Boston College this weekend, game one's already happened. That would have been, what would you call that? That's not a Freudian slip. That's just a typical Friday slip. Like normally Friday's game one. But last night, 15-1, Clemson getting the J-O-B. D-O-N-E, Mac Anglin, now 6-5 on the season. I think a disappointing 6-5 for Anglin, but he did earn the win, matching his career high in innings pitched, allowing just 5 hits, 1 run, and 3 walks with 7 strikeouts in the contest. So a dominant performance for Clemson. They are currently on the diamond right now against the Eagles. The Eagles scored early. Clemson bounced back, and we'll continue to frame that game up for you here on the program as they roll through. But the Tigers with a 15-run performance in what I think it's fair to say felt a little bit like a must-win game, because, of course, I feel like this series is so key. But Boston College had played well against some of the top teams in the league. They scratched across the first run last night as well in the top half of the third inning. Clemson answered, however, by scoring runs. In the next 6 innings, they scored 2 in the bottom of the third, 2 in the bottom of the fourth, 1 in the bottom of the fifth, 2 in the bottom of the sixth to extend their lead to a 7-1 lead, 3 in the bottom of the seventh, taking a 10-1 lead, and then 5 runs in the bottom of the eighth to close out the scoring. So once Clemson got loose, they got real loose, including Max Wagner hitting another home run. I believe that was his 25th of the season, just 2 shy of the all-time mark at Clemson, which was 27, I believe, hit by Khalil Green back in the day. And, you know, anytime you've got to get a great stat, you go dig into Tim Beret's Twitter account, because I guarantee you he's got you covered there. And yes, indeed, 25th home run for Wagner, 5th Clemson player to hit 25 runs in a season, the first since Chris Harvey in 2005, and the all-time mark is 27 hit by Khalil Green. So Max Wagner right there. Also, Caden Grice picking up his play, 3-for-3. When he put the ball in play in 53 of 121 on the season, I believe is the numbers currently for Caden Grice, batting .438. Also had a home run robbing catch during that ball game last night as well. So congratulations to Clemson on the win in that matchup against Boston College yesterday. Still feel like they probably need to win 2 more here to just make yourself a little more comfortable. Put yourself in a little bit better situation when it comes down to the NCAA tournament and the potential of getting in. Now, you still got to go do some work at the ACC tournament. Don't get me wrong, but if you don't win these next 2 games, that could fall by the wayside as well, I believe. I'm not certain. Let me check. I did not check prior to the show what Duke did if they played last night. But if Duke lost last night, I feel fairly safe in saying that if Clemson wins today, that would do it. That would do it. So let's see. Duke, 10-18. Clemson, 11-7. Duke lost last night, 15-11. So if Duke won their next two ball games, they would be 12-18. And if Clemson lost their next two ball games, they would be 11-18. So Clemson, I believe, with a win today against Boston College, would clinch a berth in the ACC tournament. With a loss and a Duke win, they would come down to the final game of the regular season. But if Clemson were to lose and Duke were to lose, that would also be the icing on the cake. So really, a Clemson win or a Duke loss essentially finalizes it in terms of Clemson getting into the ACC tournament. Just eyeballing that real quick. And again, not doing any high-fangled math. I'm just simply looking at the numbers. Looking at the numbers. So after the ball game last night, we also got a chance to hear from Monty Lee and Mac Anglin and also Caden Grice. Here's some of that, or here are some of those conversations from last night's victory.
We're proud of our team tonight. You know, obviously coming off of a really tough loss on the road, and just really proud of how we responded. Got a great start out of Mac Anglin, and swung the bats very, very well. Played good defensively. Just played a complete game. Thought we really competed, and you know, I think we all know it. Every game for us right now is a one-game playoff. We need every win we can get, and we're off to a great start this weekend. But also told the team that, you know, if there's any lesson to be learned by tonight, you know, what you do in one game does not have anything to do with what's going to happen in the next. And you know, we got to be ready to go. We can't, you know, sit here after a big win tonight where we, you know, had total control of the game and think that we're just going to do that tomorrow. We got to earn every win, and we just got to keep competing every pitch. And again, you know, if we do that, you know, hopefully we'll be in good shape. But thought we played really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point, just trying to get on base for the guys behind me, just to, you know, drive me in, because the biggest thing right now is just winning ball games. Like, I can't sugarcoat it. We got to win. We got to win to move on. Everybody knows that. So the biggest thing is just doing everything I can to contribute.
So there you have it. Last night, Clemson wins it over the Boston College Eagles. And as I said earlier today, Boston College took an early lead on Clemson, scoring one in the top of the first. Clemson bounced back, however, and pushed one across in the bottom half to tie that game up, and then took a 2-1 lead in the bottom half of the second inning. So Clemson again, based off of the Atlantic Coast Conference schedule, it looks to me with a win, they would be in the Atlantic Coast Conference tournament. With a Duke loss, Clemson would also be in. But if the Tigers lose and the Blue Devils win the next two ball games, it looks like Clemson would not make the ACC tournament by a half game. So they got to win tonight. If they do that, they will, or this afternoon. If they do that, they should be good to go. Speaking of good to go, here's how you can be a part of this program, 803-450-0086. That is a text line. That is also a phone line, which means you can drop us a dime and come hang out with us. Jeffrey Gilbert on the mound for your Tigers today, going up against Henry Leak for the Boston College Eagles. And I can tell you this with a little play on words. I hope Leak is a little leaky. So that Clemson can go ahead and secure their berth in the Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament. 803-450-0086. All right, so the brawl that set it all yesterday, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher. Saban has, I guess you'd say, apologized to a degree. We'll give you some insight into what Nick said. But I'll tell you this. After Jimbo came off the top rope, I'm not sure an apology is going to fix anything in Fisher's mind. You'll hear about that next, rocking and rolling along on a Friday afternoon, man. I tell you what, I am just thrilled. I think that it's a Friday. I know most of you are like, yeah, we're always thrilled it's a Friday. I'll be honest, I don't get like all that often worn out by the end of the week, but this week, for whatever reason, just has a different flavor, man. It just feels a little different than normal. So I am gracious to be able to sit here and talk with you about your Clemson Tigers. Obviously, it is a big weekend in Tigertown with the softball team playing their first ever, hosting their first ever NCAA tournament. They won today 9-0. Millie Thompson with nearly a perfect game. She did manage to pitch a no-hitter. And they will await the winner of Auburn and Louisiana. They'll play them tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So yesterday, the world of college sports and, heck, for that matter, sports in general, was all abuzz about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Things stemmed from some comments that Nick Saban had. By the way, you'll hear those comments coming up in hour two. I said this earlier. We had some audio issues yesterday that I think I've got straightened out today. So you'll hear those interviews, or at least the comments from Saban and some of the comments from Jimbo. All of that audio, however, in the podcast from yesterday's program, if you want to go over there and get that. But these two guys who were assistant, you know, Saban was the head coach, Jimbo was an assistant coach, national championship run at LSU. But Jimbo Fisher came off the top rope after Nick Saban said that Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M had basically bought their entire number one ranked recruiting class. And people wondered what Nick Saban would say after the comments were made by Fisher, which were harsh. No doubt about that. And the truth is, nobody is going to feel sorry for Nick Saban given how good he has been. And when the word disgusting or despicable, excuse me, is used to describe some of the tactics that Saban has used in recruiting in the past by Jimbo Fisher, when Jimbo Fisher essentially says, hey, man, let's go look at the bodies. I'll show you the dirt that you need. There are plenty of people that can. He goes, you know, it just makes you go, man, is that really what college football is? Is that the way it's always been? Just previously it was all under the table because that's what was insinuated. And if that is the case, then that, you know, how do you walk? You can't really walk those comments back. And so what would Saban's reaction be once the news of what Jimbo Fisher fired off, you know, what would that response be? By the way, a great little note from Gus Malzahn we'll get to here in a minute. But Nick Saban essentially apologized and said that he really felt like he shouldn't have singled anyone out. He admitted he was wrong to single out Texas A&M and Jackson State. Nick Saban saying, quote, I should have been more specific when I said bought in saying you can buy players now through name, image, and likeness. I never mentioned any specific schools and just said across the sport. That's on me. But other than that, I don't have any regrets over what I said on Wednesday. Saban claimed that he was speaking out because he doesn't want to adopt a if you can't beat them, join them approach. He said, I don't want to go down that road of bidding for players out of high school. He said, I don't. But if we go through this recruiting class this year and we lose all the players because they're making $100,000 someplace else, then what can you do? Saban went on to say, this is not professional sports. He said, I mean, we have free agency and no salary cap. That's basically what we have, right? There's no professional league that has that circumstance because none of them are stupid enough to have it, and that's what we have. And look, I do not deny that. I don't. I don't love what NIL and the transfer portal has done to the sport. You guys know that. But man, when Nick Saban called out directly Jimbo Fisher, Fisher just basically looked across the, you know, looked across the way and said, "Well, let's go dig up the bodies then. Because I worked with you. I'll show you the dirt." And that was the other little part of Fisher's deal that I didn't love. And I said yesterday, and you'll hear later in the show because I don't think you heard this yesterday, was that I think that if I was in the coaching business and I knew everybody was, you know, being unscrupulous and cheating, I could probably do that. But what I couldn't do is stand in the face of the media. I really don't think I could do this. I don't lie about it and say, "Oh, well, my family values wouldn't allow me to do something like that." And that's essentially what Jimbo did yesterday. But Jimbo, if you coached with Nick and you know the tactics that were done, then what would make anybody feel like you chose not to do those while you were there? I mean, if you're such a good guy and all. So you were the only one on the staff not doing whatever Nick Saban does? Like, that's the part of this for me that I just felt was a little bit weird. Like, I was like, really? Not sure I believe that. Not sure I believe that. 803-450-0086, text line, phone line. What did you make of it? We'll hear some of that audio coming up in hour number two. And I'll let you get a good bit of that if you want. And then, well, not if you want. You don't really have a choice. You're going to hear it. But if you want to hear all of it, you can go back to yesterday's podcast, which I choose the Overcast app. I love the Overcast app. If you have the Overcast app and you want to learn more about it and the best ways to use it and utilize it, I can help you with that. But the edition is called the, quote, "How Not to Do Things" edition, because Jimbo Fisher said there are coaches out there where you learn how not to do things. And that was in reference to Nick Saban. So shots were fired in the SEC West yesterday. And from this observer's perspective, it was amazing. Rocking and rolling with you on a Friday afternoon, Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you again, your Clemson Tigers on the diamond, taking on the Boston College Eagles. Clemson, at last check in the bottom of the third, was still leading that game. We'll attempt to keep you updated here on the program today on that front. As for the softball team, the Tigers won earlier today. And they will face the winner of Auburn and Louisiana as Clemson is hosting their first ever regional. Taking a look at it, Auburn had a 3-2 lead in the top of the fifth inning. And I will attempt to get back to that one in just a little bit to let you know who ends up winning that game and advances to take on Clemson tomorrow. So that's what we're looking at on that front. Again, a huge performance by Millie Thompson, nearly throwing a perfect game, a no-hitter indeed, not quite a perfect game. She hit two batters in the contest, but nonetheless, Clemson awaits the winner of that second matchup between Auburn and the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette. All right, so in the NBA last night, woo, did the Celtics get a much-needed win. Down one game to none, the Celtics were dominant on the road against the Miami Heat. You know, they started off well against the Heat in game one and sort of cooled off quite a bit. I wouldn't say came unglued, but definitely didn't have the type of performance necessary to win on the road against the top team in the Eastern Division. But yesterday, scratch that, reverse it, Missy Elliott style, 127-102, a 22-point lead at the break. Boston scored 70 points in the first half, giving up just 45. and they come away with a 25-point win. I don't know if I did my math right out of the gates there a few moments ago, but nonetheless, a 25-point win, and they had a 25-point advantage at the half. As a matter of fact, in the second half, they were all square. 26 points apiece in the third, 31 points apiece in the fourth. The Celtics were led in scoring by Jason Tatum's 27. Also got supplemented. Marcus Smart goes 5 of 12 from downtown for 24. And then Jaylen Brown scored 24. Also off the bench, Grant Williams chipped in 19 for the Celtics in an impressive performance as Boston steals home court advantage and takes and evens the series with the Miami Heat. The Heat on the year were 53-29, the Celtics 51-31. So not a big difference between these two teams as it pertains to their overall resume. And now the Celtics have a bit of an advantage. The Heat will need to steal one on the road at some point, or it is going to be lights out for the Heat, and the Celtics will advance to the NBA Finals. Big, big matchups forthcoming on that front tomorrow night, 8:30 on ABC. Tonight at 9 o'clock, Dallas feels like a must-win game versus Golden State. The Warriors up one game to none. That's on TNT again at 9 o'clock. Here's the thing. I don't think if you, and this is the reason that when we talked about Chris Paul the other day, and Chris Paul, the fact that Chris Paul was the only player in the history of the NBA who had been up 2-0 in a seven-game series and lost the series in seven. He's done that not four times now, but five times in his career. But the thing about it that makes that even more impressive is you either lose four straight and go home, or you lose four out of the next five and go home. And that's typically been with Chris Paul. He's been one of the better players on the team. Or excuse me, one of the better players in the league and on some of the better teams in the league. But you go up 2-0 and lose in seven or less, it means you've lost four in a row or four out of five. That's where Dallas sits if they lose tonight. They would have to win four out of five against Golden State, and I don't know that that's doable, barring an injury. You know, Golden State, I think, would have to have an injury in order for me to feel confident in saying, yeah, you know what, I think Dallas can come back and win this thing. The Mavericks must win tonight. Golden State did a great job in game one, slowing down Luka. They're going to have to do the same thing tonight, or else the Mavericks can steal one. And I, for one, am hoping to see Golden State get pressured a little bit here. I'd be 100% okay with it. In game one, Luka scored 20 on 6 of 18 shooting. The problem that you've got, though, is if Luka's not going, and I mean really going, averages about 28 a game, I think. If he's not getting into the 28-30 range, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to have a really tough time. So give the Warriors boatloads of credit, because they came out, took a 10-point lead after the first quarter, had a 9-point lead at the break, and never relented. And they pushed that 9-point lead to 19 by the end of the third quarter and said, good night, sweetheart. They put it on ice. Tonight, Luka and the Mavericks have to win, in my opinion. with a quick break. Come back with the final segment of Hour 1 right after this on Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Rolling along with you on a Friday final segment, Hour number 1 coming up. Clemson Tom joins us. Auburn and Louisiana, last check, they were tied at 3 apiece. As for the Tigers, as for Clemson and BC, the last chance I peeked behind the curtain at that one, Boston College still trailed the Tigers 2-1. And if Clemson wins today, the Tigers win today, based off of my math, they lock up a trip to the ACC tournament. So big, big game for Clemson this afternoon. 803-450-0077. Oh, man. That's hilarious. I don't know whose number I was giving out. 803-450-0086. Text line. 803-450-0086 is the way that you can be a part of the program today. Now, I talked a little NBA in the last segment, and I'll be brief here with my comments in this segment on the NHL. But as you're probably aware, if you've been paying attention this week, tonight, 8 o'clock ESPN, your Carolina Hurricanes take on the New York Islanders in game 2 of that series. Carolina winning game 1. Ooh, that was an epic finish. I watched it again yesterday. 10:30 tonight, Calgary and Edmonton. They scored 15 goals in game 1. 10:30 on ESPN for that one, for the matchup of the only Canadian teams in the NHL playoffs. Of course, we do have a pair of Florida teams squaring off. Tampa Bay now leads that series 2-0 after winning last night 2-1 over Florida. St. Louis evens their series with Colorado with an impressive 4-1 win. So that's the NHL and your Carolina Hurricanes. Again, tonight, make sure you tune in and watch it. I'm telling you, high-definition TV has done more for that sport than any other sport. And I know back in the day, Fox had their Fox tracker that would track the ball to try to help everybody who wasn't, quote, familiar with the game. And that's still a neat feature. I wouldn't hate it if there was something that kind of helped me sometimes with where the puck is. But with high-definition TV, you can really see it, and it looks so good. So good. 8 o'clock ESPN. Let's go, Canes. Let's go, Canes. Let's go, Canes. Get the chant going, people. You got to get fired up about it. All right, back to college football to put a bow on things here. You know, more and more leagues, it looks like, are going to scrap divisions after the NCAA's ruling. And, you know, we talked at length the other day about the ACC moving to the 3-5-5 format. Three teams that you're locked in with and five that rotate on and off every season. And that was completely interdependent of any other wackadoo changes. And what scheduling could be moving forward, not just in the Atlantic Coast Conference, but in other leagues, is really mind-boggling because it's all changing so quickly. The Mountain West Conference will eliminate football divisions in 2023. And I don't know how, per se, this affects the thought process of what the Atlantic Coast Conference could do. And I don't know if it really matters. Does this change it a whole lot? It's really sort of a, you know, a tough thing to think about because of how wide open scheduling could potentially be. Now, would you want to make sure you always hook up with Florida State? Maybe. But is more of a round robin from top to bottom, the best thing for a league, possibly. And if you scrap divisions, then all of a sudden, a team like, say, Miami, who's not on Clemson's three-team every year matchup, that would rotate on and off every 4 years. I mean, maybe there's a better way for that to happen for everybody. A way to keep the schedule a little more balanced, if you will. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. This, in my opinion, completely opens up the door to a number of different topics, possibly including what I said earlier this week, where maybe you take a game off of the schedule, okay? And maybe you don't have to. I think maybe the other way you could do it is that you would have the game scheduled out, but then the top teams heading into the final week would be pulled from their games, and those opponents that weren't in the top would then play an additional ball game that weekend. Now, there could be this off chance that final weekend had a matchup of two teams that were in the top four, and that game would just then be advanced and adjusted into kind of your conference tournament. Two teams on either side, a little four-team playoff for your conference title. Now, I think you're better off with what I had initially said earlier in the week, like leaving open date and don't tell who is playing who at that point. Kind of leave it open to put those matchups together across the conference and have the four teams that are playing be in that championship kind of little conference tournament. I don't think that's a complete impossibility. I think that could work. And maybe divisionless would make it even easier. Hour two, Clips of Tom joins us next.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Is hour number two. That's Drive Time right here on the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you. Going to be a little different hour number two here for a couple of reasons. One, yesterday we had some audio issues. I think I know we've got them ironed out today, but I want to get some of the stuff that you missed yesterday here on the program today. Also, the other reason want to do that is because we've got some of that audio from Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher from yesterday for you. I know you heard it in hour one yesterday. Want to make sure anybody getting in the car today, though, did get a chance to hear it if you missed it. So that'll be a little bit on the back end of the program, and then we'll probably put a nice shiny bow on things normal style here on the program. All right, nonetheless, real quick, Clemson Tom joins us every Friday afternoon, and he's right here with us today. CT, my man, what's going on? Welcome in. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I got some storms coming in here, but I guess it's those summertime, late afternoon storms. But other than that, it's finally the weekend. Thankfully, it's over. Thankfully.
Ready, how's ready the give us a wellness check. I know last week you were off of an all-night bender at the emergency room with your headaches. Yeah. How you been feeling this week, man? The people need to know. How's Tom feeling?
Yeah, so they're still continuous a little bit, not as severe as the last one, but people have actually been checking in on me, so thank you. But yeah, just got to just kind of have to watch it. Got to get an appointment with a specialist. But I think, which is going to be a sad day for me, I think beer is a trigger,
Oh no.
So no more. I actually haven't had anything to drink all week long. So, and even going into the weekend, we'll be alcohol free.
Clemson Tom joins us here on the program every Friday to give you the fans' perspective. We'll talk a little bit about sports here in a minute, Tom, but I have a confession to make to you on the show today, and I'm not sure how this is going to be received by a man. I mean, you're on a scale of one to macho, you're somewhere up near macho, right?
I'm not a 10. I'd give myself a 7.5, 8. You know, I'm not the toughest guy out there, but I'm going to hold my own. You know, I'm going to give myself 7.5, 8. Yeah.
Tom, I didn't see the movie Top Gun until probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And I just needed to unload that on somebody that I thought could walk me through it. And I felt like you'd be my wingman, so to speak.
You never, ever leave your wingman, first off. And you know what? It's a shame it took you that long to see it. However, you saw it.
Okay.
But you saw it.
I don't remember what it was about, Tom. That's how interested I was when I watched it.
All right, then you need to stop doing what you're doing and then watch it tonight.
Okay, so the show ends now, and we'll be back on Monday.
Yes, go watch Top Gun, Swanee. What's wrong with you? No, I got invited to a sneak peek. So I'm going like Monday to go see Top Gun, so I can report on to it next week before it. I think it comes out on Friday, so I can report back on it. Midweek next week, if you want to do like a Top Gun prequel or sequel update with no spoilers, but yeah, we get to go next week.
Well, I went through the list of Tom Cruise movies that I had never seen, and it's a lot. I think it's less of a judgment on Top Gun and maybe Tom Cruise. Maybe there's something against Tom Cruise that I don't like.
You cannot like Tom Cruise. That's fine. You know, he's got his own social thing I don't really agree with. But him as an actor, I did like Top Gun. I did like Days of Thunder. I got into Mission Impossible 1, couldn't get into the others. Jack Reacher was another one that I liked.
Never saw it.
There's been a few that I'm like, okay. But
I never saw Risky Business. I never saw Cocktail. I mean, there's a ton of movies I never saw.
Cocktail is a classic.
Never saw it.
You need to see it. That's a classic. Whew. That's a good one.
So, Tom, is there... Okay, so to make me feel better about myself, because I'm clearly... If you're macho 7.5, I'm clearly like macho 4.3. Is there a movie that you feel like you should have seen that you haven't? Like, is there one where when people say, oh, dude, have you ever seen... I'm just going to throw something out there. Predator? That you just go, dude, I've never seen that. And I don't know why I've never seen it. I mean, is there something... No. Can you make me feel better about myself on a Friday?
When it comes to, like, the man movies, bro, like, I'm all about those. That's just me, like, you know. But I've never seen Star Wars, not one Star Wars across the board. And I'm probably, like, the 0.1% of people that have never seen it. And people say
well,
that I would probably like it.
Pump the brakes on this comment for just a second. Are we talking about any Star Wars?
Yeah, I don't know. I know who the characters are. Obviously, Darth Vader, you know, Luke Skywalker, Indiana Jones was in it. That's all I know. They got some bad guys called Jabba the Hutt. Like I don't know any of the characters. They got R2-D2 and the gold guy. I don't know who the gold guy is.
C-3PO.
Okay. CP3. I didn't know that name. Okay.
I do know the name. I feel better, Tom. I feel better already.
In my world, that's like a nerd movie, man. Like I'm just not gonna do
it. So now I'm like a 3.3 now on the macho
that's
scale.
But it's probably not a nerd movie. I never watched it. Now there's some really really good like movies that kind of go under the radar when it comes to like man movies and things like that. Green Street Hooligans is another classic.
Never heard of it.
Oh man, Green Street Hooligans. There's a part two that just don't watch it. Don't even waste your time. But part one is amazing. Great.
Well,
great
and I think too, Tom, the benefit of this, we're sending people off to maybe a spectacular weekend of movie watching here. I'll throw one out there that I think is underrated that people don't know. Memento. Did you ever see Memento?
I've never even heard of it.
That dude, that's one you got to go see. I don't want to give too much away, but let's just say that there's a guy who doesn't have a short-term memory, and he's trying to find his wife's killer.
Now
you got to see that.
One that I would highly recommend seeing. There's really two that when they come on, I'm stopping what I'm doing and I'm watching. One of them, The Notebook. The second one, Steel Magnolias. Steel Magnolias, baby.
I like Steel. Well, I don't want to say this out loud, but I like Steel Magnolias. Dolly Parton and all
that's
those.
A classic Southern woman movie. You could say that. It's fine. Okay. Steel Magnolias is a good one.
My wife fusses at me. I never saw Pretty Woman.
Oh, love it. Pretty Woman's a good one. That is a classic as well.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
You got a young Julia Roberts in there, Richard Gere. You got the guy from Seinfeld in it. Man, it's a cheesy 80s movie, man, and the 80s made the best movies. I mean, look at Patrick Swayze. He was a triple threat. He could sing, he could dance, he could act. He was a martial artist, I think. I don't know. Amazing.
I think he may have been. Clemson Tom's on Twitter, @ClemsonTom. And, yes, I'm sure there are great movie reviews there. But let's turn our attention away from that, Tom, and talk a little bit about some of the goings-on in Tiger Town. Currently, Clemson, at last check for me, was leading Boston College. By my math, if Clemson wins today, they lock up a trip to the ACC tournament. If they were to lose today, it would come down to tomorrow's matchup because they are just a slight bit ahead of the Duke Blue Devils. Now, if Clemson loses today and Duke loses today, the Tigers would still go in, again, by my math. All that being said, up early against Boston College, you know, heading into the latter stages of the game. 15-1 yesterday, must-win game today and tomorrow, it feels like. What do you see for this team? Are they going to make it into the postseason? Because they are clearly on the brink of maybe not getting in.
I've been telling you every week, they're getting hot at the right time. Check the tape. Go back to it. Every week, they're getting hot at the right time. Baseball's about getting hot. Baseball's about being on a streak. Right now, they've been on a streak. And I've been telling you, and then they've been executing. They've been making me look smart, which is hard to do. I'm telling you, they're going to make it to the ACC. I feel it in my bones. I feel it.
Well, we'll see what they do today. They could lock it up, get to the ACC tournament, maybe go out and get a win or two and move forward. Then, earlier today, Tom, Clemson softball hosting for the first time ever a regional game. They win it 9-0. Millie Thompson nearly pitches a perfect game. She does get a no-hitter. She hit two batters, or else she'd have had a perfect game. I said last week, and I know I mentioned this to you, I think they are a team that could ultimately win a national title. Tom, I'm not so sure that this season that they won't make it into the NCAA, into the College World Series. I really believe that. They could win this home regional. They go to Stillwater, Oklahoma, to face a great Oklahoma State team. But I don't think that it's completely absurd to say that this team wins there and then gets to the College World Series in just their third year of existence.
Yeah, it's not doable. I mean, we've got the talent. We've got the coaching. Are they going to win it all? Man, I don't know. Man, that's a long shot. Could they? Yes, they could. That's what you want. When it comes to something that's doing the round-robin status, or maybe not round-robin, but the whole tournament status, how they do it, they've got the potential to do it. Are they the best team out there? No. But they have the right amount of talent, the right amount of skill in the right places. They can do it. I mean, look at Millie. Almost a daggum perfect game. I was following it on Twitter. It was great. We have the potential to do it. We just need to now just go execute it. And if they do it, oh, man, Clemson's going to have so many more softball fans than they already do now. And they currently lead the NCAA in softball attendance. I don't know if you knew that. We packed the house better than any other team in the NCAA, which is amazing.
Which is wild. I mean, people have really bought in to the sport. It is such a incredibly
fun.
Yeah, it's a fun sport to watch. I think that's one of the things that so many people didn't realize about softball because they weren't paying enough attention. But whenever it was on TV, and I don't know about you, but you know, ESPN does a better job during the regular season of covering softball than they do college baseball. They'll act like when the College World Series comes, like you've been able to watch college baseball on their platform all year. Just not the case. But softball's there a lot. And I'm talking about on the ESPN, like on the main network and on ESPN2. And softball's there. And I can remember watching Florida and Tennessee and some of these other great programs and going, holy smokes, this sport really moves. And I think that's the thing that's happened with baseball. Baseball feels sluggish. Say that again?
The softball, with the girls, they get into it, they're hollering, they got chants. It's different. Baseball's a little bit more like buttoned up. You know, it's more of a gentleman kind of a thing out there. There's not a lot of hooting and hollering like the girls are. The girls will sing songs. Like they got like chants going on. When we lived in Gainesville, Caitlin took me to some softball matches when we lived up there. Like when they play on Saturday and Sunday, and the weather's great, we tailgate a little bit with our friends up there. And the softball games are just fun. They're singing songs, they're chanting, they got these cheers that they're doing. You know, the girls get into it. The girls are very fiery, and that's what it just makes. It's just more fun. It feels like it's a little bit more loose, and everyone's out there to have fun, and it's very, very competitive.
Well, and I'll tell you this, it was a hot day at McWhorter Stadium, but the Tigers move on 9-0, the final score, and they will take on. Let me get a quick check here to see. I was waiting to see if we could get a conclusion. Auburn leading, and maybe this game's coming to an end now. Auburn, it looks like, might knock off Louisiana, so it looks like it'll be Tigers versus Tigers tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Now, Tom, final thing, Jimbo and Nick.
Unbelievable.
What did you take away from yesterday's events, if you will?
It was who's going to take their ball and go home first. Now, here's the thing with Texas A&M. Yeah, they got all these players with all the NIL deals, and did they do it the right way? Yes, they did. But then you have Nick Saban going, this is just unbelievable. They bought all their players. Like, check it out, Nick. You live in a glass house, you're throwing rocks. Y'all been cheating horrendously in Tuscaloosa. You go to the daggum football facilities, it looks like a Dodge dealership's out there. And I'm not even, like, accusing anybody. I'm straight up telling you, everybody had a Dodge something. Alabama was cheating way worse than anybody else. And Jimbo was cheating at Florida State. He was cheating at Texas A&M, way worse than anybody else. Now they're just—it's up out in the front. And
okay, so
now getting recruited.
Yeah. Let me pause you right there, real quick, and just ask you this though. So here's what I said, Tom. Like, I'm not a cheater by nature, right? But I feel like if I was making $8-9 million a year to coach football, and I knew everybody else was cheating, I'd feel the pressure to cheat too. I think we all would. But what I couldn't do is what Jimbo Fisher did yesterday, where he talked about how his morals and his ethics that he learned from his dad, you know, wouldn't allow him to do that kind of stuff. So if you honestly believe, and you could, that Jimbo cheated at Florida State and Jimbo cheats at A&M, then my question to you is, how can a person stand in an arena and say, hey, this guy, go look at the dead bodies over there on his residence, have dead bodies in his backyard himself, but then go, but you know what? My parents raised me right, and I wouldn't do something like that. Like, to me, that would be harder than the cheating part. I mean, am I wrong?
Yes, because, no, trust me. Like, ask people that are connected with college football. Jimbo ain't squeaky clean. Jimbo is far from, you know, a Boy Scout, per se. But at the same time, like, you can't say Nick shouldn't have said what he said because he's just getting out recruited now, and his feelings are getting hurt. That's all that boils down to. And then Jimbo, he should have said part of what he said, but never like, look at me, I'm you know, the most honest person. No, you can't do that. What he did say was, we did everything the right way. They probably did, because now it doesn't matter how much you pay a guy. It legitimately does not matter. So now everything's in the forefront. And now he's connected with all those oil, all that ag, everything. So, yeah, you know, ABC Oil Company in Texas can give a kid $500,000 to come play football and be the spokesperson for, you know, the oil company there, because they got the money to do it now. And now it's not illegal. And now it's an NIL deal, because all you need is a poster cut out of the guy going, you know, get your oil from Joe's Oil over here. And Nick's just upset because he can't do like how he used to. And that's just what it is. And we say it every week, the NIL is the complete Wild West. There has to be some sort of regulation, like a salary cap, something. But and then even Deion Sanders is getting into it. Meanwhile, what, last year he got Barstool Sports to get him a five-star recruit to pay him to come to Jackson or wherever he's at, and wherever
Jackson State.
I knew something like that. Yeah, like the five-star recruit's going to go play for Deion because it's Deion Sanders. No, you went there for the NIL deal from Barstool Sports, but now Deion got his feelings hurt because something else happened. It's like, we can't do it like that. But it's okay when it works out for the coaches. When it's not okay is when it doesn't work out for the coaches, and then they get their, you know, their britches all tight and
well. And I wonder too, Tom. And we only got about a minute and a half. Like, let's say the big time donor, right at A&M, gives a ton of money to get recruits, and then they don't win at a high level. Are they just going to keep giving, or is it going to be, no, this is a bad investment? You know what I mean? Like, is there a point where you look at it like a stock or something? You go, yeah, this is not working out.
Exactly. How did they sign a contract? You know, not to throw any shade, but if you have the second worst stats in college football, your position, and you had an NIL deal with a fast food company and a soda company, are those two companies still giving you money after you just performed second to the last of your position? I don't know. I guess we'll see. But if you're a business person and it's not, if you're not getting any ROI, then what are you doing? So I think that's going to play out probably by next year or the year after. We're going to see some of this stuff happen. And it's honestly ruining college football, because you can get a guy, develop him, and then all of a sudden he becomes a great player when he was a two-star recruit, and you got him at Jacksonville State Baptist Christian Community College. And then next thing you know, Southern Cal sees him as, well, daggone, this kid can come in here and start right away and help me win a championship. Here's $750,000. Why don't you come over here and transfer and start right away? It's the LeBron mentality. Just build a team and just win. That's what LeBron does. LeBron could go anywhere and just build a team, and he'll do whatever LeBron does. But it's killing the sport, man.
Tom, buddy, have a great weekend. Enjoy some movies for me.
I definitely will. Green Street Hooligans, buddy. Check it out.
We had a quick break here on a Friday afternoon. Clemson Sports Talk, the show that shakes the Southland. The website, put the .com on it, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Okay, Nick Saban on Wednesday had this to say, and it's safe to say that it ruffled some feathers in College Station.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future, because more and more people are doing it. So if the NCAA doesn't get some protection from litigation, whether we got to get an antitrust or whatever it is, from a federal government standpoint, this is not going to change, because they cannot enforce their rules. Just like Nate said, we have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play basketball there for $400,000, it's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it. So, but the NCAA can't enforce their rules because it's not against the law. And that's an issue. That's a problem.
So, again, if you're just getting in your car, that was Nick Saban on Wednesday. And I think the great Gorilla Monsoon, Jesse Ventura, Tony Schiavone, any wrestling commentator, Jim Ross would tell you that this is one coming straight off the top ropes.
Coach, I'd like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama.
Yes, I would. First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us. Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
So if you're in the car going, sheesh, that was a mouthful. Jimbo Fisher wasn't done yet.
You know, y'all had both spoken so highly of each other in the past in terms of what y'all have done in your previous relationship. So how disappointing was it to hear that from him, you know, in terms of, you know, a mentor type to you?
It's disappointing.
Well.
No, it wasn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him with opportunities.
Coach, back behind
don't
the lights.
Don't be associated with it.
Coach, is this an area where you would want to see the league office and the SEC, the commissioner's office, get involved if coaches are putting out specific accusations of violence?
That's their job. That's fine. I'm sure they will. They'll reprimand or say something, and we'll move on, I guess. But this is about our players and Texas A&M and the people who work for and the coaches here. That's what this is about. And make a mistake. We're not going anywhere. We have still a lot of work to do. We're not where we want to be. This is going to be a great program, and we're building it into a great program.
So that's a good portion of it. That's not all of it. If you want to hear a majority of it or most of it, you can listen to the podcast and catch hour number one, or you could go to the texags.com, one of our sister sites, and watch the full 9 minutes. That was about 3.5-4 minutes of it. And it is some of the most, ooh, man, you kind of want to say honest, right? Feels honest from Jimbo. And I was talking to one of my buddies about it, and he's like, man, all these guys are liars. The thing I couldn't do as a human being, like if you said to me, Swanee, if you were a head coach and everybody was cheating, could you cheat? I might be able to. I probably could. If everybody was doing it, I probably could. If I knew, and if I'd worked under the best of the best and they were cheating, then yeah, I could see where you would cheat. I could see how that would happen for every coach. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I don't say that I'm a cheater. I'm just saying it makes sense. Like, if everybody else is around you cheating and you're trying to win at the highest level, then you're prone to cheat. What I could not do, though, I couldn't cheat. I don't think I could do this. I couldn't cheat and then stand in there and tell you that I don't cheat with a straight face and tell you about my dad knocking me upside the head for you know, that you don't cheat and you don't lie. Like, that I couldn't do. I'm better probably at breaking the rules than trying to cover up that I broke the rules if I were a head coach. Like, I would say that would be my thing. Like, I could probably do what everybody else was doing, but then if you said, are you cheating? I go, oh, yes, you got me. here's all the paperwork. I'm just an honest guy. I'm just trying to play by everybody else's rules. We'll hit a break. Stay with us. Clemson Sports Talk, Law and Swan. I can almost hear the Gamecocks. Swanee said he's a cheater. He would cheat. No, what I've said is, if I was a head coach at that level and you knew, like if you were, you knew everybody else was cheating and you worked under coaches that were cheaters, and that's what, I mean, that's the way Nick, that's the way Jimbo Fisher makes it sound Nick Saban was, I think it would be very hard not to cheat. That's what I'm saying. I think it, that even in that scenario, I probably could cheat. Like if the everybody, if I knew the best of the best were cheating, and everybody was cheating, like if I just kind of knew that that was the case, yeah, I mean, I think you probably would. But what I know I couldn't do, I couldn't stand in front of people and say that I wasn't. That's the part I couldn't do. Like, I couldn't, I could do the dirty deed to stay at the top of the game, but if somebody called me out on it and said, oh, we got evidence, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't even. I doggone sure couldn't stand in there and invoke something about my dad. Yeah. Well, my daddy always taught me, oh, I could just, at that point, I'd be done. I could just stand in there and lie about it. Like, could make up some story. My dad always said a liar's no good, and I'm no liar. Like, nope, I couldn't do it. That's the part I couldn't do. That would be tough. 803-450-0087. Swanee, you still say you're a cheater. You would cheat. No. not in this world. In the world of where I'm an $8 million a year college football coach with a ton of pressure and boosters, I probably could. I shook hands with Bobby Petrino. And if you haven't done that, then you don't know about the cold, clammy hands of Bobby Petrino. I shook hands with Bobby Petrino and I thought, man, this guy is dirtier than the day is long. Like, that is the exact feeling I had. Remember in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, when George Bailey shakes hands with Mr. Potter and he just knows. Now look, if some of you out there right now, some of you out there are saying, Swanee, I have never seen that movie in my life.
Everyone, I have something to say.
You guys are missing out on a great movie. That's what I have to say. One of the best. Classic. Christmas. Classic. But when George Bailey is shaking hands with Mr. Potter, and he backs out of the deal that was going to pay him $20,000 a year, which when you run that number out was like $400,000 or something. 244. I can't remember the number. I checked it last Christmas. You could check it today. All that in front of him, and he goes, nope, not doing it. I can't. That's the way I felt with Bobby Petrino. I did the interview, but the whole time, I was like, ah, man, this just feels wrong. Just feels wrong. 803-450-0086. Swanee said he would cheat. No. Saying if I was an $8 million head coach who had been an assistant under coaches and I knew they were all cheating, yeah, I probably would. I mean, it's kind of like the ways of the force. He was raised a cheater. It's just normal. And look, don't even come at me with that when half of you would tell me, well, everybody cheats in football, Swanee. Well, then don't tell me you have a desire to be a head coach. You can't say one and then the other say, yeah, but I'm not a cheater. Well, then you don't desire to be a head coach. Everybody in that business is cheating, right? Isn't that what you told me? But man, did Jimbo Fisher peel back the layers on the old onion. I mean, I said it yesterday. Pat Beverly showing you what the wizard looks like. Today, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen the innards. of the wizard, as the people from my neck of the woods would say. 803-450-0086. Text line and phone line. Be a part of this program anytime, any place, and of course, anywhere. We always appreciate you guys hanging out with us to talk about your Clemson Tigers and the rest of the world of college football, which over the past 24 hours or so seems to have come completely unglued, not by the way of NIL, not by the way of the transfer portal, but by the way of the top coach in the land being eviscerated by one of his former assistants, Jimbo Fisher, and now arch nemesis and rival. I mean, that is a heel turn of epic proportion. Brought on by Nick Saban. One of the other things that has changed and kind of flipped college sports or football on its heels a little bit, the NCAA announced a 2-year blanket waiver yesterday that will allow FBS teams to sign as many players as they choose, overriding the previous rule that limited squads to 25 players per signing class. That should allow some programs who need more players to attempt to acquire more players. And with the transfer portal being what it is and doing what it's done to some rosters, additionally, with the situation with COVID and players maneuvering what they're going to do with where they, you know, if they're staying an extra year, this opens up some opportunities for a lot of programs to make some headway maybe on their roster. So there are many schools that will now be able to backfill and possibly adjust from limitations that they faced due to everything that has happened over the past couple of years in the sports world, and they're going to get a 2-year window to, you know, kind of fix that. We'll come back, final segment next on the show that shakes the Southland.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Friday afternoon. Again, thank you. Hey, those two segments you just heard, those were two that I had some issues with yesterday. I think they aged decently well, though. I thought they aged decently well. So, just kind of getting through all of that. Now, the Clemson Tiger softball team earlier today, as we mentioned, 9-0 over UNC Wilmington, and the Tigers will take on Auburn tomorrow at 1 o'clock as Auburn knocked off Louisiana earlier today, 4-3, the final score in that one. Louisiana scored in the top of the first, put a shingle across, one run. Auburn answered with two in the bottom half. Louisiana knotted the game up at two in the top half of the second. Auburn then took the lead in the bottom half of the third, a 3-2 lead. Louisiana would tie it up with one run in the fifth, and then Auburn got the go-ahead and final run in the bottom half of the sixth inning to win it 4-3. It was a home run in the bottom of the sixth inning that gave Auburn the margin to take on Clemson tomorrow at McWhorter Stadium. I'm telling you, that's gonna be exciting to watch. Let me see. Man, I thought I gave out the ways you could watch those games yesterday. But honestly, I may have been thinking about Clemson baseball. Let me see if I can get that information for you. See if those games are available for you to tune in and watch. Game two. Ooh, man. I'm not seeing it. Yeah, I don't see it here listed as to, you know, what channel that game will be on. Let me see if Auburn, I know, tweeted after the game. Yeah, to be determined. So we don't know what channel that's going to be on just yet. Clemson and Auburn. You would think with two top 17 teams, that's probably going to get the ACC network, but who knows? Honestly. I mean, I can't give you more insight into where to tune in to watch that tomorrow. I can just tell you that Auburn did end up winning, and that'll be a Tiger v. Tiger matchup tomorrow at McWhorter Stadium as a 1 o'clock start for that game. Man, I just can't tell you. Does not say. To be announced. Hate that. Don't forget tonight, Carolina Hurricanes, 8 o'clock on ESPN. I can't tell you that. Your Carolina Hurricanes. My Carolina Hurricanes. Our Carolina Hurricanes. And I guess technically if you're an old Hartford Whaler fan, you could still root for those guys as well. Don't forget the PGA Championships are taking place. I saw a crazy story off of that one. The beer prices? Like, the most expensive beer that I remember, you know, seeing with my own eyes was probably $8 when I was at a buddy of mine's wedding and we were at the, you know, the reception venue or whatever it was, you know, before the wedding, whatever that was, you know, what do you call that? It's kind of like when all the groomsmen were hanging out. I mean, it wasn't like, am I that far removed from marriage? I don't even know what you call it, like the bachelor party. It wasn't that. It was just, you know, just some guys hanging out before the wedding. And we were at a place, and I think the Bud Lights, I remember, they were like $8 a pop. I'm not saying I bought any. I'm just saying it was expensive. The beer at the PGA Championship, $18. A 1-8. That's insanity. Matter of fact, Justin Thomas called out the PGA on it. Say, man, you got to treat the fans better. I mean, honestly, all the golfers there, I mean, if that's going to be the price, they ought to talk to the PGA and say, all right, listen, most of us here are multimillionaires. What's it going to take for us to drop the beer prices down, you know, to $3 a bottle or $4? You know, somewhere a little more reasonable for the common man, and just have the big boys chip in to take care of that. I mean, how many beers could possibly be sold? $18 a piece? I'll tell you this. If I were at an event where a beer was $18, I would need about six buddies to split that, because there ain't no chance your boy Swanee's spending that kind of money on beer. I'm not spending you know, these people that drink like $1,000 bottles of wine, what do they think? What are you doing? No. All right, I got to get out of here. We'll give you an update. Last check, Clemson baseball was leading Boston College. I got to go, though. Till tomorrow. Excuse me. Until Monday, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!